This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 26th verse. Then they arrived at the region of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on shore, a man from the city who had demons met him. For a long time, he had not worn any clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, shouting, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now, there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd stampeded down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds had saw what happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then the whole throng of people of the surrounding regions of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Happy Baptism Sunday to you. I bet when you were planning this date, you were like, "I really hope the pastor talks about demons." You get your wish today. He won't remember it. It's fine. It's fine. Demonic activity in the Bible is really interesting to me. I think in relation to how Jesus treats demons and interacts with them is something super interesting that we can look at in theology. And it's really cool, and part of that is because it's really confusing. But in the love of Jesus, there is healing. So in starting this, I just wrote down a million questions about demons. And so here's some of them that I was thinking about that maybe you want to think about. How do demons or demonic beings choose what host to enter? Are they the weaker ones or the stronger ones? Do they like the challenge of a stronger host because it would make them more powerful or destructive, or do they settle for weaker hosts just to sustain their life? And what does weak and strong really mean? It seems like in some demonic activity cases, stronger faith means that demons are shielded by our faith. Somehow this idea, faith as a shield, but wouldn't Jesus be our shield? And how do we categorize demonic activity when it's not another organism or soul-like thing entering a body? Like, do we all have a little mean streak within us that's considered demonic activity? And when the puppy couldn't stop tearing everything apart in the house and biting and being a terror, she was for sure possessed by a demon, right? Yeah. Okay, because I'm excited about this, we are just going to take a moment to remember our grounding in our baptism right here. Thank goodness this is going to be up here the whole time. And in the presence of Jesus' healing love. So I want you in your seats, shake it out a little bit, get a little comfortable. Put your feet on the floor, ground yourself in that. Feel all your 10 toes on the ground. Roll your shoulders away from your ears and back a little bit and take a deep breath in. And slowly release it. Okay, wiggle your toes a little bit, wiggle your fingers. Make sure your shoulders didn't go back up to your ears. And we're gonna do one more. Deep breath in. And slowly release. Okay. Demons and demonology and this dark activity is not an easy topic all the time. So often in our culture and in our world, we categorize and miscategorize things into maybe demons and demonology, like mental health, normal child development stages, or normal puppy development stages, or diagnosed conditions and diseases within us, physical ailments. We like those to have a label, and we want to put them into a category that we're just more comfortable with, which is like a demon locked in a tomb and in chains. Kind of like what this town did with their own hometown demon, this Legion guy, in our gospel today. As long as we know where he is or know where our things are, and he's locked up and he's predictable at this point, he's fine. Don't touch him. But let's look at who this man with the demons is, because he right away introduces himself to Jesus as Legion, which means infected with many demons, not just one. But the scriptures say that he didn't wear any clothes and he didn't live in a house. And I immediately thought of a beloved holiday character already said today, the Grinch. Sounded like the Grinch. And spoiler alert, his heart is also going to grow 3 sizes too big today. But this Grinch-like character, Legion, locked away in a tomb, he is about as them as you can be, as outsider as you can get. But he knows who Jesus is. As Jesus is sailing into town, he is the first one of the greeting committee out on the shores waving Jesus down, saying, "Hello, come here, I need your help." We see that he begs Jesus to not be tortured anymore. Maybe we have our little mean streak once in a while and it feels kind of good. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want this anymore. He doesn't want this activity in him. He's begging to be healed. And then, as Jesus heals him, the demons go into the pigs and they all go drown in the lake, he turns into a normal guy, clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus, just wanting this relationship. Reminded me of someone else who sits at the feet of Jesus, Mary. And in the beginning of Luke chapter 8 here, just a few verses before, Mary has talked about needing her demons healed also. So Jesus is traveling in circles with people who have this demon activity around them and affecting them and maybe somehow affecting him, but he is willing to heal these places. And then Legion is curious about Jesus. He wants to go with him. Jesus is going to leave, and Legion's like, "I'll go too." Great. But Jesus says, "No, why don't you stay and tell everyone what happened and share this word?" And he's healed by Jesus' love. Then I want to take a look at Jesus. Jesus is doing normal Jesus things. He is stepping into places he may be welcomed in theory or in idea, but once he starts doing the work, once he gets there and he's starting the healing process, and he's actually in those communities, the people kind of freak out. He steps onto shore, he heals this man, word starts spreading about this, he's building a relationship with him, and these people can't handle it. It's too much. They ask him to leave. And Jesus, healing someone who's been locked up physically, mentally, spiritually, in the most intense, degrading, violent kind of way, is that offensive? Something that he did to warrant being asked to leave? What I think is happening here is that Jesus is reflecting back to this community where their needs might need some healing also, where their hurts are, where their own little demons might need to be healed. To you, to me, What can't just be thrown in a tomb and kept locked up in chains, what really needs to be healed or changed or molded or softened within us, Jesus is touching those places. Because if Jesus can heal someone like Legion, the one who's the farthest thing from someone like me, then what could he heal in me? Because the healing is in Jesus' love. We've had a big week here in Minnesota, in our church, in our communities. We continue to pray for the healing of Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette, and the families of Melissa and Mark Hortman, our Speaker of the House. And there's a lot of news going on around that violent attack on their lives, on our military involvement in now in Iran and Israel, in the war last night, and we are praying for peace. And there are breaking stories after bad news, after ongoing wars, after politically targeted murders, after vigils and help going on everywhere. There's a lot of distraction happening for us that keep our true vulnerable selves locked up in a tomb sometimes. Sometimes not really by choice. And that's not even to mention the things that are going on in our own worlds and lives and bodies and families and relationships, because those are all there too. And we, like the townspeople, might just freak out if Jesus were to touch some of those things that we have locked up so tightly in a tomb. When Jesus starts to shine some light on those things, to reflect back some of those places that we need changing and touching in uncomfortable ways, maybe we ask him to leave. These townspeople are the witnesses to this miracle, this exorcism, liberation of a soul, and their response is fear. I was searching through my notes from my demonology class that I took in seminary. Loved it, obviously. And at one point, I must have had some really smart thoughts, because I was reading through some of the things I was exploring in this class about how Jesus interacts with demons in people differently than how he interacts with people who seem to be acting just out of their own free will. And that is that Jesus, with people inflicted with demons, he is compassionate and kind. Jesus is empathetic and gentle with these people. But on the other hand, when Jesus reserves his anger, he uses that for when he's fed up with religious leaders who defile holy things, pervert worthy spaces, distort the words and meanings of God. And Jesus' anger comes out as flipping tables in temples. When he confronts self-righteousness and selfishness and immorality from the people who seem to be acting out of their own free will. Because Jesus has bigger reactions to people being mean to one another than he does to demons right in front of him, falling at his feet. And so these people, acting out of their own free will, asking Jesus to leave after all he's done is heal, is he leaves. He's like, okay, I'll do what you ask me. I'll get gone. He doesn't heal any more people. He doesn't do any more work. He leaves this town to the devils they know. But one of them fell at his feet. One of them was blessed with freedom and grace. One of them was liberated from his chains. And that tomb, faithful. But the miracle is still in that love from Jesus, in healing their hometown predictable demon, because he needed the connection and the understanding from him as well. So even though Jesus leaves him behind, gets in the boat and goes, I wonder how this community then embraced this healed man. He probably had a changed name, because Legion just wouldn't work for this anymore. But how did they celebrate Legion? after he's saved from Jesus. But I don't know. I hope that they changed quickly, because if they kicked out Jesus, it wasn't going to look hopeful for Legion. I hope that they threw a party for him, for their Grinch, and there was singing and dancing and cake in their own Jesus-healing way, and I hope that we can do that too. Celebrate the healed even when they're from the other side of town. Throw a party for the new, even when they've been chained and mistreated and isolated for too long. Bake a cake for the living, because no one is an enemy. May we go celebrating healed demons with joy. May we go in the freedom and in the grace and in the love of our Jesus Christ. Amen.